Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Arcade Cozy, the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And we are coming back at you a day late, but not a dollar short. We're $10 ahead, everybody, if I've got the math right. It's been busy in my house and my other house, and it's a lot of just life stuff. It's a season, and and also it's warming up. And school's getting out soon, Corey. My child's not in school, but I can blame it on that too. Things are busy for everybody out here. Corey, wow. Yeah. How are you doing?
I am good. I am knees deep into Tears of the Kingdom, which will be our main talking point today.
Yeah, boy.
Got my first full rotation on the bike at physical therapy today.
Ooh.
So that was nice. Been cleared to ride the bike more, finally.
Look at you.
That's nice, being a month out when I think it was like 2 months before I was on the bike last time. So,
okay. Yeah. Love it.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah. I'm walking around mainly without the brace. I have one more week of sleeping with it.
Okay.
I hate it.
You got those night flails going. They got to keep you strapped in to make sure you're not kicking your demons in the middle of the night.
To make sure I'm not kicking, yeah. Because like when you sleep, you naturally bend your leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have to sleep with it locked and straight because the whole thing with ACL surgery is like the bending like almost always comes back. Like it just takes a little bit of time. They're like, but if you can't get your leg straight like early, that's a big problem because then they're like mashing it like into like a table, trying to like extend it out, which is like very painful.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Right, as long as
doesn't like, sound great.
As long as like you have it straight, they're like, yeah, like we'll get the bend back. Like there's the rare cases where it doesn't, then that's a whole thing. But I got to a little over 100 degrees today, so
look at you. Very nice. I love it. Yeah, Corey, you mentioned it on the top ends. We're talking about Zelda as if there's
anything else.
As if there's anything else in the world to talk about.
Actually, I played Redfall and I really liked it. You know, I want to walk back what we talked about.
Hush. Hush. Nobody wants to hear it, Corey. I don't have boo on this thing.
You should get a boo because you should.
I know. It's all just nice things. I mean, sorry, the laughing, I guess, could be like considered mean. Let's see what this one is.
I kicked a 450 duty flopper deluxe mega whopper supreme, bro. It clapped, man.
Oh yeah, there we go. Look at that.
Absolutely did that in Tears of the Kingdom.
Kingdom
Pro Skater 2.
I don't know. We could leave it off, but Corey, you mentioned it on the top end. Let's talk about something else first for 5 minutes before we talk about Tears of the Kingdom, to bring it up. But
it's a bad news.
It's relevant to us, I think, as like Overwatch fans, but Blizzard like showed off their roadmap for I guess basically the rest of 2023, what they're showing, like their new seasons, content that's rolling out, and legitimately like some interesting stuff. I mean, like their season 5 has like kind of a fantasy themed looking something going on. They have a lot of new heroes. They have like a hero mastery, which I don't even know what that is, but just the words put next to each other kind of sound cool. But the big thing, and I just kind of skimmed it prior, so I didn't really have good context. You brought it up and kind of clarified, but they're not the big thing that Overwatch 2 was supposed to be set apart with from Overwatch 1, right, was PvE. And they are not having PvE, Corey?
Not in the sense that they originally promised. So the whole original concept of why they had to make an Overwatch 2 was to do this PvE. That way characters could have skill trees and like different builds, loadouts. And it was going to be like a different, essentially like a little bit different gameplay. And they've just scrapped it all from everything that they're saying. It's just like, doesn't exist. Now they're doing like different PVEs integrated, I think, either into the battle pass or like standalone like DLC installments that you can buy that'll be released periodically. And it's just like, so it just feels really dirty, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they're like, okay, here's Overwatch 2 now. That's like you need to pay for it if you haven't had it before. Yeah. And now they're going to charge you even more to offer what was initially promised in that initial buy. Because the whole initial conceit was, well, yeah, if you have it, it's coming with the game. And now they're like, JK, you owe us money. And it's actually not what we told you it's going to be. And actually, it's a worse product of what we were intending.
Yeah, it is. It's a gross thing on top of like what I feel like has just been a entirely like gross package, essentially. Like,
yeah,
because I mean, we like when Overwatch 2 came out, I played a good bit of Overwatch 2 and really enjoyed playing it because Overwatch just is a good game to play. It Agreed. Feels good to play. The world is very rich. The heroes are very unique. There's a lot of stuff to really dig into to have a lot of fun with, but it did not like recapture the same magic that Overwatch had because like it did feel, even from the outset, it was like, this really does feel like they're trying to limit my fun as much as possible.
Yes.
In Overwatch in a way, because like that was the thing, was like Overwatch initially was always just, if you wanted to spend money, you could buy some loot boxes. And are loot boxes great? Potentially, no. Is it frowned upon to have that kind of system? Maybe, but it was all for cosmetics. It was all for stuff that you could get otherwise. It was stuff that if you just play the game enough, you can unlock every single thing. You play one of the special events enough, you can get all the special costumes. You don't have to worry about it if you don't want to spend money. And then it became like with the Battle Pass, no, they're not like giving you something that you need to win the game, but it was a thing where they started like locking out all of those rewards behind this paid wall. And it started being a thing where it's like, you can't earn everything. And even whenever you are earning stuff, it's so minimal. It almost kind of feels like an insult where it's like, oh yeah, you earn 7 coins a week and it costs 2,000 coins to buy a, one piece of whatever. Yeah. And so the fact that like they kind of already led on this foot where it was, okay, it feels like it's taking some of the grosser things from live service games, but it's still keeping the same like approach. Maybe it'll kind of even out, whatever. Like, I think it is just kind of like a cementing of the fact that like, it's probably not going to turn around in a way that people are happy with. Like, it sounds like they have cool stuff coming down the pipe, but at the end of the day, they effectively, just made re-released Overwatch to sell it again and are going to just sell you DLC for the first time ever. Like, no, there hasn't been paid content in Overwatch. There's never been like, buy this map pack, buy this character, whatever. It's always been everything's for free. And so like, that's a weird take for it to also be the fact that like, I honestly didn't have a ton of interest in the PvP or the PvE mode coming out of Overwatch 2. That wasn't what I was super excited about, but like the fact that they're that was their big selling point for the longest time, and now it's going to be, yeah, no, we're not. But when we do, you're going to have to buy it, and you're going to have to do it again and again and again and again to get the full picture. Mm-hmm. That's not fun. So,
yeah, no, it's just makes it more difficult for me to go back to the game knowing just like they're doing all these different things to, like you said, limit your fun, and also it's just bad and gross business practices and feels very exploitive, and it's just one of those things where I'm like, ugh, I just feel gross playing it, feel gross reading about it, and yeah, it's just, it sucks. You hate to see someone that you love just like broken apart piece by piece and sold to you for exorbitant amounts of money. You're just like, but why? It was great. And
yeah, it's not. I don't know. It's a greater conversation regarding, I mean, I know they're not one thing, but you know, also whenever you're looking at like the frustration behind Xbox currently and Bethesda mm-hmm. currently and stuff, it's mm-hmm. all just kind of like one big mold of, you know, yuck. Nastiness. Yeah. We will keep you updated as this news happens, everybody. Beep, 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 beep. But moving on, Corey, you've been playing Zelda. I've also been playing Zelda. I've been playing significantly less because we've been so busy this weekend with so much stuff. You know, Zelda came out on Friday. We're recording mm-hmm. this on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I've maybe put in all of like 4-ish hours over the course of that. I've played, but I mean, it was like, it took me 2 or 3 days to get out of the like starting Great mm-hmm. Sky Island section. So I'm still getting my feet wet. I'm still gradually moving through. But honestly, I mean, that's the way that like, that's the way I would prefer it anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, like I would love more time to play, but I don't want to rush through it. I want to soak this thing in, Corey. Yep. How much have you played?
Well, first, hold on. I'd say probably 10, 12 hours is where I'm at.
Okay. Look at you.
Here's my thinking for it. Let's talk a little bit non-spoiler and then maybe get a little bit of spoiler discussion on, I guess, the B side of this track.
Okay.
Yeah. So just for people listening that way.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're not going to dig in too much, but I guess there's like
a ton of story spoilers that we can offer or anything like that. But if you want to go in blind with that or at all.
Yeah. Maybe, if you want to have like a purely fresh experience. Yeah. So Corey, I mean, how, for you being somebody mm-hmm. who like Breath of the Wild did not take for nope. immediately, like, mm-hmm. how are you feeling about Tears of the Kingdom coming into it?
Honestly, I'm loving it. It's okay. the magic or whatever you want to call it that people felt for Breath of the Wild, I think I am feeling for Tears okay. of the Kingdom. And I think with Breath of the Wild is one of those things where it probably came at the wrong place at the wrong time. And by the time I came back to it and I liked it, it wasn't. It, like, whatever there was to hook me or whatever you want to call it just wasn't attainable for me anymore because it was just such long gaps between I would, like, attempt to be playing it. I think with Tears of the Kingdom, and I want to quote Elden Ring or reference Elden Ring, I think is, like, definitely, like, put me into a gaming space where I could really enjoy Tears of the Kingdom. It's wonderful. It's magical. It's everything I wanted it to be for me, if that makes sense. Like I was getting more and more excited as like release date came. My expectations were getting very high and they have been met and exceeded. I love it, Chris. It's so good.
Love it. I'm I'm super glad to hear it. Yeah, it's I mean, Breath of the Wild hit me. I mean, I don't know necessarily. I mean, it's obviously just Breath of the Wild in general is a very special game, and that's why it hit so many people in such a positive way. But like, for me, it hit at the right time, and I've talked about it a little bit before, but like, I was at that point where I was just like, I didn't feel like I was getting a lot of joy from video games at that time. I felt like I was just playing games to get from A to B, that I was just checking it off a list, and I wasn't like fully thriving in anything. And then Breath of the Wild came out, and it became this game that I just wanted to like immerse myself in, where I wanted to travel to every like nook and cranny, and I wanted to go over every hill, and I wanted to, and it just had this like, it was an open world where I had never felt that sort of like impulse before. I don't go into a Far Cry game and say, man, I gotta find out what's in that cave, because more than likely it's just like a gun that makes my number go up a little bit. Like, there's not going to be some, more than likely, maybe once in a blue moon, but more than likely there's not going to be like this NPC hanging out in there who's got some like weird story to tell you or whatever. And like, and that's the thing is like, people, if you've played Elden Ring and you've felt that level of magic, like there's a reason that I think Breath of the Wild, Elden Ring has clicked with so many people, is because for the longest time, that's been the formula. It's just, we give you a big open world and we hit you with all of this, all of these numbers and all these things. And like, here's this thing and go over here and complete this thing and fill out this district and do like, collect all these whatevers. And it's like, it's not that Breath of the Wild or Elden Ring or any of those don't have those. Like, Tears of the Kingdom seems like, at least from the outset, there's even more of it, because you have like your towers, you have your like shrines, but there's also stuff like, they're wells. Corey, they're wells. Yes. And I found a lady in a well.
Same.
And she was like, you know what? I like wells. And I was like, okay, me too. And she was like, do you think you could tell me where all the wells are? There are 58 of them. Could you, I'll pay you for everyone that you find. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it seems like it's setting itself up to be even more like, there's just hidden stuff everywhere. And there is a magic in that, that like Breath of the Wild, like continued to scratch in me. And that I'm feeling very early on with Tears of the Kingdom, where it's like, I want to get in and I just want to play the game. I'm not like, there is so much a part of me. I'm not this like achiever personality where I have to check off every box and do this thing to feel successful, but I do like the level of completion that comes, and the level of like progress that comes with games, where it's like, okay, I know that I've moved the story this many percentage points forward, or I've checked off this many things. Like, it's an accomplishment in a way. Yep. And like, there's a part of me that like almost kind of pushes back against Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, you know, by extension, where it's like, well, you don't have that as much necessarily. Like, yeah, you can check off those shrines and everything, but there isn't as much to just, you know, to let your lizard brain just kind of like check out and click off. And it's like, but that is the thing that makes this game and these games in general so wonderful, is just that, like, you know, they want you to come in and play. And but they also give you more structure and more just kind of like magic than, in at least in my opinion, something like a Minecraft or something like that, where it's like, they're asking you to play, but with zero guidance or goal or, you know, whatever. Yeah. I need that sweet spot, Corey. I need something something in the middle that's like, wants me to play, but it's giving me some direction on how to go there.
I do think that's where Breath of the Wild, like, I struggled at the beginning, because it doesn't give you a ton of direction. And I know most people, that is their big thing of why they love it. It's like, just go do whatever you want. I'm like, I need just a little bit more than just do whatever I want. It was my first Zelda game. There was no connection for me. Like, it was just okay. But immersing myself a little bit more in some of the previous games and this one, I do think Tears of the Kingdom gives you a bit more direction. Don't want to spoil
okay.
the beginning.
It honestly I felt the opposite. I felt like it gave me, I felt less like I knew what direction to go than Breath of the Wild.
Well, its opening sequence is, I'm not going to spoil it, but just very, well, like, on
I
the
mean,
rails.
Slight, just slight spoilers for, I mean, just be aware as you're listening to this that, like, stuff could pop up that could, yeah. like, it's not going to ruin anything. Don't worry. Yeah. But if you just want to go into it blind, just be aware.
Yeah,
go ahead, Corey. Proceed.
Listen to this in a couple months. I mean, yeah, it opens up in a very linear format where it is Link and Zelda post Breath of the Wild, and you are under the Castle of Hyrule, and it gives you a little bit of tutorial, a little bit here, it shows off what is Ganon. And then as you get to the Great Sky Island, I think it does a much better job of, like, okay, like, you're falling. Here's this big tower in the distance, like, very evident. I need to go there. And as you get there, it's like, okay, here, go to these shrines, X, Y, Z. And it teaches you more how to play the game going between each shrines as you're, like, learning these abilities. Compared to Breath of the Wild, where it's like, here's your ability, go to the next one, get your next ability. And it never really challenged you in between to use what you had learned to get to the next place. Unless I'm remembering incorrectly, it was very much just, they're kind of over here, there's one up on a mountain, and you got to stay warm. That's kind of what this one is, but it's like, no, you have to get across this river, so you need to build a boat. You need to be able to use, like, your equipment to also go on these rails, X, Y, Z. It's teaching you how to play the game more. And then I think once you make it to the mainland, Hyrule, it's like, okay, yeah, here you need to go to Lookout Landing. There's just a little bit more story kind of out the gate prodding you along. Because I'm like, I don't have a glider, which I know is one of the most integral parts of this game, so I need to go along until I can just get the glider. And I think with that, it's offering a little bit more meat, a little bit more substance on, like, okay, what's happening here, what's going on, where's Zelda at, like, you're trying to put everything together. And I think in those first 4 hours, I would say, because it probably takes about 2 to 3 hours to get out the tutorial, I would say.
It
gives you a lot of, like, okay, Zelda's missing. Here's your new arm. Here's, like, the big, instead of the four divine beasts, there's four regional phenomena. You need to figure out what's going on with them. And it offers you your new abilities. And I think with that, it was enough to, like, really, like, focus me in, like, okay, this is what we're doing. But also, as you kind of step out in the world, there's, like, okay, there's a cave over here. Oh, there's a cave over here. Oh, what do you mean there's a chasm on the South Hyrule Fields? You jump into the chasm. It's like, no, there's a whole underground world. I'm like,
yep.
Did you talk with FromSoft? This feels very much the same, but in a very good way. And it was, as you're going along, I think the direction, focus, and the hook that it gave me, like, they kind of peels back a little bit of, like, its main story, but it's still, like, everything you know, everything you've learned how to get around and do is still there for me. And so I'm running around Hyrule. I'm like, okay, oh, here's a little cart. If I attach this to my shield, because I can shield surf, now I have a skateboard, and now I'm skateboarding down this hill. And sorry, I'm just going off in random tangents at this point, but that's kind of how the game feels. It lasered me in early, because I just had the focus of, okay, get the glider, then I can kind of do whatever. And then once you get there, it's like, yeah, I can go do whatever now. I'm sorry, this is very incoherent, I imagine, for our listeners.
No, but I think it makes sense for anybody who's played one of these two games. But yeah, I mean, And that's the thing is, like, yeah, you are correct. Like, compared to the, because the original Plateau was very, like, it was a small picture of what I think you could experience out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't necessarily, like, using your skills in, like, some huge way. Because, I mean, by and large, your skills were some bombs. And mm-hmm. like a magnet, and it wasn't like, so you're right, like it wasn't like actively using those. The Sky Island does feel a lot denser, and there's a lot more to do, and it does actively require you to use these skills to actively like traverse it. More so though, like once you get off of the island, it is, because originally with like the Plateau, it's like, oh, well, you should go to Kakariko Village. You don't have to, but like, I'm going to put this on your map and you should go there. Mm-hmm. And so like you have that direction, but like you jump off the Sky Island and you don't have direction. It doesn't tell you. I mean, unless I'm remembering incorrectly, I jumped off on
Lookout Landing before you jump.
Yeah.
Like you stand over and it's like, here's this thing. Guess what?
Right.
You're also going to land like 100 feet from it. So
yeah. Yeah, and it's, but it does have that kind of thing where, like, whenever I landed, like, I didn't fully process that at first, I think, because there was, you know, there's a lot of happening. Stuff kind of happening on that, and it was a thing where, like, I hit the ground, and I was like, I don't know 100% where I'm supposed to go right now, so I guess I'm just gonna go. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got to Lookout Landing and did stuff, but it was that kind of thing where it felt a lot more like freeform kind of from the outset in a way. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is one of those things that I feel like, I mean, I think it's the magic of this game is that it's one of those things that can be talked about for months and years and stuff because of these experiences, and it's because the developers chose with Tears of the Kingdom to double down on the fact that it's like, okay, we want you to have fun. We want you to do cool stuff.
Oh, yes.
We saw that, like, we gave you a very limited skill set. We gave you some bombs, and you found out how to, like,
launch yourself across the map.
Across, you know, and they're actively giving the tools for people to do weird stuff and to fit in it. Like, it makes you. It makes the game feel so rewarding whenever you're figuring out these problems. Like, you know, I was in a shrine that had like, I can't remember what it was called or what the exact conceit of it, but it essentially was like, okay, I need to get this ball from one end of the shrine to the other. And I have to like get it up this ramp essentially. But the ramp, like there's not a ramp, but there are like the pillars that can form a ramp.
Yep.
And it was like, I was like trying different things and I was laying down a board and I was like, maybe I could get the wheels to like drive up this board and I could like move it as it goes or something. Like maybe I can do something like that. And I just couldn't get it to like work. And I ended up just like slapping, like gluing a wheel onto another wheel and almost kind of creating this big like arm of a wheel that ended up just like climbing the thing.
Yeah.
And it made it all the way up. And I was like, all right, I don't think that was how I was supposed to do it, but that is how I did it. And it forward worked. We go. Right. And it's that thing that I think like that, like, I mean, immersive sims, the whole genre of that things like Dishonored, things like Deus Ex thing, you know, that kind of thing where you're just actively playing and you're figuring this stuff out and they do really give you an open-ended approach to solving these things.
Oh yeah.
It does make you feel brilliant in a lot of ways because you are problem solving. You are looking at it and being like, okay, maybe I don't have the firepower to get through this. Maybe I'm outmatched, but maybe I can figure this out. Maybe I'm sure if I just think I can figure something out to get through this. And in most cases, and I think with Tears of the Kingdom especially, they have made sure that, yeah, you can. You legitimately can. There's plenty of stuff at your disposal.
Going along with that, like the line of thinking, I've never played a game that's made me simultaneously, or not simultaneously, like within a 30-minute span, feel so smart yet so stupid. I'll be like in a shrine, and like you said, like trying to get something from point A to point B, and I concoct this thing, I build it, I'm like, I'm a genius. And I like basically get it to go and nothing happens. I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. Yep. And then you build something with two wheels and let it roll up a wall and you're like, surely this isn't gonna work. And it does, you're like, I'm a genius. And it's just it's such an amazing feeling. And also, I will say, if you're not creative, 98% of the time, like Big Bridge works. That's the best way to describe it. Yeah. Like I built Big Bridge and problem solved. I will say that was also one of the times where I was felt so smart yet so stupid. I built a big bridge, got to the end. I'm like, okay, I'm at the target now. And I hit the target and nothing happened. I'm like, what am I doing? I built big bridge. What's happening? And it took me forever. And I'm like standing at the top of this hill, looking at the target, just like, what am I doing wrong? I have the bridge. I can touch the target. I don't understand. My bridge touches target. Yep. And eventually I figured out what to do. And I was like, I'm so stupid. Oh my gosh, I'm so stupid. I've wasted so many resources. But then I was playing earlier today. And I'm trying to build a flying machine so I can get this gem. So I can take this gem and build a shrine. And the little wing thing that you get wasn't working. Like, what if I take my like skateboard cart that I use? Because I keep carts to make skateboards with my shields.
Okay. Do you drag them around with your horsey?
No, they're just like one of the things you get.
Oh, in the little balls.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so instead of using like the wing bird thing, I used that and made like a flying skateboard. And I'm just like, nice.
Look at you.
I'm Link Hawk now.
Yeah. And you're right. Like it is one of those things where there are so many different solutions to things. It isn't a thing where it's like, oh, the game is requiring you to now be smart, like to do things completely differently from how you would want to do them. It's just they've made the options available to do it similar to how it was before, where it's like, I never once launched myself like 5 miles across the map using bombs, but people figured it out. People found ways to like hop on a shield, ride that out, get across the map as quickly as possible. And that was the way that worked for them. And the same thing with this, like you can walk on foot, you can, you know, go into one of the sky tower things and launch you up into the sky. You can do things just by the book and do whatever, and it'll get you to where you need to go. Mm-hmm. I've also seen people throw a bundle of sticks into the air, let it fall to the ground, use recall on it,
then like
put a platform on it, and then ride it back up into the sky.
Yeah, I'm just like, looking at it like, how does your brain work like this?
Right. I mean, people are figuring out ways.
I mean, people are building Iron Man suits. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, absurd. Completely like weapons of mass destruction, just all over the map. And like, and that's the thing is like the tools are there for people to just go crazy with it, but it's accessible in the sense where it's like, I mean, at its base level, maybe every once in a while, you need to slap a piece of wood on the water and put a fan on it because you don't have the stamina to swim across it by yourself. Yeah. Like, and that's the reality is like, it gives you a lot of tools that incentivizes you and leads you that direction more, but it's Zelda Fortnite or Zelda Minecraft or whatever. Now it's just, I think they're embracing that spirit in a huge way, and it's really positive. Like, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm enjoying the breadth of it, and I'm enjoying the fact that it's just like, even though I haven't had like a ton of time to play, I'm looking at it, I'm just like, man, I'm gonna just soak in this world for so long, and it's gonna be so good, and I just am so happy about it. And like, there are so many games where I start it, and 5 minutes in, I'm like, what's the how long to beat on this? How quickly can I be done with this? And yeah, that isn't even anywhere close to how I'm feeling.
No, right now. I will say I did one of the regional phenomenon because I wanted to be able to talk about it.
On
our pod. And I'm not going to spoil which one it is or anything about it. I will just say, like, it was incredible how well it was done. Like,
okay.
I'm not going to like spoil anything for you. But I was just sitting the whole time. I'm like, this is incredible. I absolutely like did many of the puzzles in ways that they did not intend for me to do. Like, there's one where essentially I found a way without getting into the room to activate said thing, and it shows I can see it after I do it, like opening the door for me to exit. I'm like, haha, I'm not even over there, sucker. And it was just very funny. Of like, it was just a moment like, I cheated the game, but they designed the game to be cheated. So
yeah I mean, the fact that they have an ability that lets you like go into a building and then just point up at the ceiling and get to the top of it. Right.
That is the answer for a lot of things. There's so many times where I'd be climbing and running out of stamina. I'm like, I wonder if I just glide to the bottom and stand under this thing, if I can just go through it. And sure enough, like 9.8 times out of 10, you can. You absolutely can.
And that is the best feeling in the world, Corey.
Yeah, no, it's absurd. Have you done any crazy Karok seed puzzles or Karok seed puzzles?
No, I've done about like 10-ish right now. And the ones that I've done have all been very like by the book, like very like old Breath of the Wild, where it's shoot these targets, or you know, here's this like moving flower, you chase it and you get the Korok. I haven't found like any different ones. Now, I have seen plenty of videos of people massacring flocks. Crucifying. Corey, you've told me that you've been part of the crusade to end the Korok blight upon Hyrule. How's that going?
It's going really well. It's hilarious. I've seen one where this person just builds a giant rocket ship, puts them on it, and just like sends them like across the map, essentially. I'm just like, you monster. Let me go do this. it's genuinely like hilarious, like, because they're sweating, they're like squirming. You put them on this board, I put rockets down, and I see them sweating even more. I'm like, oh yeah, you should be. And it's just like a little fan here to get you a little bit of elevation. Yeah, you're gonna make it. Whack. Didn't make it. And it's so, I can't believe that they have like, that this never came up in like testing or like any of like their like demos or any of the QA, nothing. Like, I can't believe like none of those people were doing this, because I feel like they wouldn't have allowed it, if that makes sense. Because there are so many of these people literally just crucifying these guys, or they're like had them on rotisserie, burning them, like you name it. And I'm just like, it's hilarious because of the misery that it put me through my brief time in Breath of the Wild, but for most people's like time in Breath of the Wild, like trying to find all of them was, to my knowledge, like awful. And this is people's revenge. And it's just so funny. It's also so funny that sometimes the solution is literally just to pick him up and run him 50 feet over to him. Cause you can just do that as well. Yeah. Instead of having to build a contraption. It's like, no, you can just run all the way there with him. Or you can build a insane rocket ship and line it up to where, he's going to crest that mountaintop. It's absurd. I love it.
Yeah. And it is, it's just, it's fun to have the option to be super extra about a lot of things. Cause like, you know, first thing, whenever I landed off the Sky Island, I landed right next to one of these like Hudson construction sites. I love those.
It's so fun.
And I was like, I was like, oh, I'm in a big field. I'm going to build, and I built like a stilt car. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to use all these pieces. And I just built a car that was high off the ground. And then I just drove it around the field, and I spent like 30 minutes getting 50 feet.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? I was like, this was a blasty blast. Mm-hmm. I will do it again. And yeah, I don't know. It's something special. And it's one of those things that it's going to be like, I feel like we just need to automatically have a section at the end of every episode for the next,
what'd you do this week?
6 months where it's like, what'd you do this week? What'd you bring into the table?
Well, I saw someone built a flying like Century drone that would like,
yeah.
Cause I have a couple of the pieces like to do that, the lock on thing. The only thing I haven't been able to figure out is how to upgrade my battery. Because I'm still sitting on the first single battery, and I'm like, I need more batteries if I'm going to build my Sentry drone.
Yeah, I've found out, or I've at least found who can do that. I haven't found, I mean, they're all over. They're like, or at least I've found a couple of them, so I assume they are.
Okay.
But, and there was also one in the like starter.
Yeah.
Great. Sky Island. But
the stones and then those turn into the cells.
I think, that's the part of it. I haven't actually done it yet. That's what I'm assuming is that the guy's like, oh, you need these, you need this, which you can then turn into this. And then once you have 100 of those, I give you a new battery. And so like, I have the stones, haven't found the second part there. So I don't really know where that comes in. But yeah, he's waiting for you, Corey, once you figure somewhere. It out.
Yeah.
So somewhere he'll be there.
I hope so. He needs to be. I need more batteries. Cause there's so many times I'm flying between Sky Islands and I can see that battery running low. I'm like, don't do it to me. And there is a way out of it. You'll find it eventually, but it's not foolproof. So,
Okay. Very nice.
Yeah.
Corey, do you have anything more immediately to talk about with Tears of the Kingdom or?
I mean,
you want to save some more big beats for next week?
Maybe so, but there's just so much to talk about. I mean, there with the Hudson thing, there's like Hudson Construction. You can come across and you will find a guy standing at all the big ones trying to hold up the sign, and you have to build this contraption so his sign doesn't fall over, and then he gives you big rewards for it. But yeah, it's also, it's a three-layered map. There's the Sky Islands, there's the mainland, then there's a whole underground area, which I haven't explored too much yet because it is a horror show. I don't know if you've run into Gloomhands yet, Chris, but if you haven't, you should run when you do.
I am assuming, In hearing the word Gloomhands and also having run into some legacy Zelda characters, I'm assuming I know what that is.
They're like these five hands that spout from the ground, and they are so fast. They will walk you down like with ease. There's no outrunning them. It's, can I get to higher elevation quickly? It's a bear. That's what it is.
It's a bear.
Yeah. And the first time I ran into one, it was horrifying. They caught up to me and like they kill you like that. It's just gone. It's over. Gloomhands. Run. Don't walk.
Gloomhands. Wasn't there... See, I'm looking it up now and I'm not finding what I'm thinking about. So maybe I'm confused. I don't know.
They're like, they sprout from the ground like randomly. And I'm just like, oh, get away from me. Get away, get away, get away. Oh, crap. I can't get away. It's kind of how it goes. So it's awful.
Yeah, well, I've seen that they have, so they have like-likes in Tears of the Kingdom, which are like a legacy character. I think I'm thinking of Wallmasters now looking at it, which are big, just like they're essentially like Master Hand from Smash, just a big old floating hand, around.
You'll know what I'm talking about because they have like this weird like yellow eye in them and everything. It's gross. It's bad.
Okay, weird.
There's just, again, so much is just happening all the time. There's so much in every single like cave, dungeon. We haven't even gotten into like the whole weapon like aspect of this game.
Oh yeah,
All the weapons are now deteriorated across the world due to game circumstances. And the easiest way to circumvent that is to fuse. And so you can take a stick, fuse it to a rock, and now you have a rock hammer, and the weapon lasts a pretty long time. You can also take parts from monsters or robots that you fight and attach those to swords or even shields and make them even stronger. And so, like, I'm taking, like, I had, like, 4 hearts, and I took down, like, this pretty, like, beefy guy because I had a bunch of bomb flowers that I could attach to my arrows. And so I'm doing tons and tons of damage. And I took his crown, attached it to a ladle, and my strongest weapon at the time was, like, 14, and now I have something with 36 strength. I'm like, oh, go me. I'm invincible now. And that like one weapon carried me for a long time. And there's so many different mix and matches that you can do. Like I said, you have these carts, you can attach it to your shield. It does increase your shield's defense and durability, but now I'm also skateboarding around down every single hill, like zooming. I am literally Tony Hawk because I can like grind on rails with it. But there's also, I can take a like laser beam gun that is in the game. I can attach that to my shield. As soon as I have my shield up, guess what's happening? Laser beam, boom. Or any sorts of flames going on. Ooh, big thunderstorm is rolling in here right now.
Whoa.
I can see like, I don't hear any thunder. So much light. I can just see so much lightning.
Goodness, Corey.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
I will.
Get rid of your metal. Take your metal shield off.
That is, that's also kind of the, there's the thunder.
I hear it.
Yeah. But that whole aspect of the game, turning like, taking a ladle and turning it into my strongest weapon is absurd. And the fact that I can just do that over and over again is just wonderful that they're like rewarding your creativity with whatever you're finding and doing. I can also make like a 12-foot long like spear, and I'm like, get away from me. Like, I don't want you here. I don't need you here. Bye-bye.
It's very in keeping like with what we were feeling was going to be the case, where it's like, you get to make, everything has a use. You know, you can take everything. You can take a tree branch. And even if it's not like, even if it's not the most like effective weapon in combat, like taking a stick and attaching a rock to it, you have your like if you're trying to bust through rocks, you need a rock. You need something with a rock on it to bust through those rocks easier. There's a use case for everything. And yeah, it is one of those things where it's like, I have run into so many situations where something has just like positively benefited, where I've been able to use an item and attach it to my shield or attach it to a weapon and it do something really cool, that there've been plenty of times where I'm like, okay, if I were to put like a piece of flint on like my shield and somebody hit me with a sword, would that like spark a fire and catch them?
If you have
them,
a wood
like,
shield, yes.
it's just this level of thinking where it's like any of that kind of stuff is possible. And then there's also just like so much weird shit too, where it's like, I've had a big like one of these big tree log sticks and a mm-hmm. big claymore, and you put them together, and it's basically you just stuck the claymore into the end of the tree stick, and yep. now you just have this twice as long thing where you're swinging mm-hmm. You're not even holding the hilt. You're holding like the stick and hitting people with the hilt
yes.
of the sword that are like 10 feet away from you. And it's great. And it is insane that exists. But
and you can also use like things that you make. Like you can make a giant boat, carry it up in the air with your free hand, then rewind it. And if any enemies are like walking through that, it does damage too. And so yeah. There's just so many different, it is a game that rewards you in almost in everything you're doing. It will punish you as well for not like understanding its physics, I guess. Like the games, like it's tough to break what it's doing, essentially. Like
yeah.
you can yeah. cheat around their ideas for their solutions by essentially creating your own, which is what they want. But like whatever you're doing is going to have some sort of impact. And that can be very negative for you as well. If you're not understanding like, oh, well, if I'm going to like essentially make a trebuchet, well, not a trebuchet, but just like a like launch thing. When yep. that thing goes up, like it's going to go somewhere. If I'm standing in the wrong place and I've gotten the angle wrong, it could absolutely crush me or just send yep. me flying. Or yep. if I'm like trying to jump while an enemy's attacking me and it hits me, I am going to absolutely get sent off the side of this mountain. And yeah, obviously these are like very basic things, but like the rules apply in a lot of things. I'm like, oh, this was my problem with the wings. I was trying to get like enough air underneath it, like so I could stay up. But because it was yep. pushing the tail end up so much, I just did a nosedive and like yep. immediately crashed. I'm like, oh, what am I doing wrong? And there's like so many things like that where it's just like, okay, once you really learn like how everything like works in tandem, like it's so fun. You just feel like a genius, but also an idiotic genius.
Yeah.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, it is truly is just it's such a weird thing that this exists in the world. And I am so excited to see all of the different ways that it all comes together, because even I mean Breath of the Wild seems to pale in comparison to
But now I want to go play Breath of the Wild. Like restart right, from like, fresh is where I'm at with
yeah. it. It is one of those things where it just feels like there's so much. Breath of the Wild feels like Breath of the Wild at the time. I mean, and still up until opening up Tears of the Kingdom, like felt like such a, I don't really know the word for it. Like felt like
it just had revolutionary.
Endless, right. It felt revolutionary. That's a good word. Whereas like Tears of the Kingdom feels like it's cranking that up many times over. Oh, yeah. And to go back to Breath of the Wild and not feel like I can just stick create stuff together and just right. Like it's going to feel strange in comparison, but yeah, I'm definitely interested in going back to Breath of the Wild afterward and seeing what that feels like.
Long hair Link is superior.
I do like long hair Link. He's mm-hmm. got a whole mood about him. I like him.
I will say, I think this game really opens the door in discussion of like, okay, do studios and I mean game development need to like focus all on graphics and fidelity? Like Tears of the Kingdom isn't running at 60 FPS. It's probably barely running at 30 FPS, if that.
Yeah.
But like they sat down and they focused solely on like the fun aspect and like their world and the gameplay of it and like cranked it all the way to like 200 out of 100. And yeah. I think a lot of studios could like learn from that, take a step back, like, no, this doesn't have to look realistic. We don't need like the most cutting edge graphics with Blu-ray ray tracing, everything like that. Like, that's nice to have in there. That's really great. It's really cool. But like, our game might do a lot better if we really focus in on like the actual gameplay and like how to make this the best experience for our players outside of just like, oh wow, this like is revolutionary from a visual standpoint. Because I feel like that's where a lot of studios are right now, is like focusing all on like how much you can crank the visual aspects of a lot of these like consoles. Meanwhile, this game, no, it's not crashing on me. It's working seamlessly in tandem. Like, everything is memorizing like how far it's falling, how far it can rewind, how long it has, like everything to it. And it's just running on a 2016 Switch, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's in that we've, Corey. Yeah,
it's getting,
look at you. We better wrap this up soon before you lose your power.
Yeah, things are getting nasty here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's,
I think it is nasty here. What am I saying?
It sounds nasty. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I can't even remember what I was saying now. Your thunder's distracting me, Corey.
I'm sorry.
Where's my boo button?
It works for now.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, Corey, I'm excited to talk about Tears of the Kingdom more in the future. I think it's going to be great. And I'm excited for potential like spoilery discussions in the future. I saw that lightning flash, Corey.
Yeah.
I saw it. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But yeah, Corey, let's wrap this up so you can shut down all devices and get away from your Windows.
Yeah, seriously.
Corey. Keep playing Tears of the Kingdom this week. I want to hear more about it.
I did order a Switch controller at your recommendation. Yes, So
8-bit. Yeah, I think it's 8-bit do technically. I say 8-bit do. But you're getting pro controller for the first time, which is way overdue.
Yeah, I've been playing with Joy-Cons for years.
That is heinous. I bought a pro controller 2 weeks into having a Switch.
Yeah, and everyone said it like I'm a monster. Is basically what everyone's called me.
It is the worst way. No offense to people who primarily use Joy-Cons, but I don't understand what is wrong with you.
It's worked great for me now,
Corey.
But I'm wrapping out on me.
I'm looking forward to hearing how that works for you and how much it improves your experience.
I hope so. It comes in tomorrow.
But until. Yeah. Ooh, looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you on the internet when they want to see your sweet pics of your new controller?
I will post it on our page tomorrow, and that'll be arcade_cozy, which is our page, but you can follow me on Twitter and see my dog who's barking.
At
Stay Thrashy or Instagram at @SlingingThrasher. That's actually where you'll probably see him more than likely. He doesn't like thunderstorms.
Yeah. Yeah. You can find me at Arcade.
Well, you can find us
at Arcade Cozy on Instagram. Yeah. You can find me at 4PointPixel on Instagram, at Swiss Von Joe on Twitter. Comments, questions, concerns, arcadecozy@gmail.com. And what else? Intro, outro music. Johnny B. Good, 89. He does stuff. He's good at it. Corey, we're going to keep playing. I'm going to play some more.
Yeah, you are.
I'm excited to see what's around that next corner, down that next well, up that next hill. Can't wait. Until then, Corey, this has been Arcade Cozy. Psychic. Why should your hobbies be too?